Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington, and here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019. As the protests in Sudan continue, one opposition spokesman says a lot depends on what top military brass do next.
Definitely, the opposition, including Justice and Equality Movement Sudan, all are behind the uprising there.
And a Sudanese analyst says Mr. Bashir has only himself to blame for his country's isolation.
I believe very much that President Omar Hassan al-Bashir had long blamed for his country's poverty and isolation.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Several Sudanese opposition political parties say they're preparing to organize more street protests in Sudan, despite heavy security in Khartoum and other cities across the country. As we've been reporting for the past near 2 weeks, the protests began over high prices for basic necessities like bread and fuel. But many demonstrators are also demanding that President Omar al-Bashir step down. Jibril Ibrahim, chairman of the Justice and Equality Movement, says most opposition group leaders are working with trade union leaders and activists to bring down Bashir. Ibrahim believes some senior members of the Sudan Armed Forces, not happy with Mr. Bashir, might speak publicly soon. He says if the military joins in the protests, President Bashir will be forced out of office.
Definitely, the opposition, including Justice and Equality Movement Sudan, all are behind the uprising there. It is quite natural that if you corner the people, they have to talk loudly about what they are facing. Now, as you know, as a result of rash policies, whether they're economic or political policies, and exclusion of most of the Sudanese political forces, the end result we are seeing now in Sudan is that while people are not getting their necessities, they have problem with food, bread, they have problem with cooking gas, they have problem with the gasoline. They have problem even with getting their own money from the banks. They are not allowed to withdraw their own money, except in very small amounts.
Given the track record of the government of Sudan in using force while cracking down on activists, what is your focus on these street protests?
The opposition is coming together, providing leadership, providing a clear vision of what's next, about the transitional period, who will lead the transitional period, all the details that people need, so that when they say what's the alternative, they'll find it ready in front of them. I do believe people cross the line of being afraid of the government and of its brutality. Now they are ready to die. In all cases, they are dying. Instead of dying of hunger, you better die with a bullet. That's now the choice they have.
Former President Jafar Mohamed Nimeiri was toppled by street protesters. How strong is the ongoing protest in Sudan?
I think unless the military takes part in this and join the lines of the opposition, it's very difficult to bring about the unseating the government. The easiest way of doing it is to have the military or the Sudan armed forces take side to the opposition. And then the Bashir will not have choice but to step down. And that's the easiest, fastest way of change. But we don't know exactly what's going to happen. And as you correctly said, NCP is intransigent. And it's not going to give up easily. And unless the military will reach a point where they're convinced that they cannot continue and they have to take sides with the opposition and with the masses.
Experts in the Middle East say it's not easy to force President Bashir out of office because he has the backing of the military. What is your comment on this assessment?
Whatever you do with the military and you try to idealize it to the maximum, still there is room for them to maneuver. And I do believe with the information we are getting from inside, is that ranks from the Brigadier General and down are not happy with Bashir. and they look at him as a liability. And in that sense, I think when we reach a point where they see that their countrymen are getting killed on the streets in masses, they may not decide with Bashir, and they may not stand idle watching. So I think we'll reach a point where the military will make the right choice at the right time.
How organized are the protesters?
Always the demonstrations in Sudan, at least in our experience in 1964 and in 1985, it was spontaneous. It starts spontaneous, then gets organized, and political forces form the leadership, provide the leadership, and then things move forward. So I think now already the political forces or the opposition forces have stepped in, organized themselves, trying to create a united opposition, and then ask their own constituencies to go into the streets and put the necessary pressure on the government.
How many opposition parties are involved in advising the street protesters?
It's a major opposition alliance that brings armed movements as well as political parties, as well as the civil society, including refugees and IDPs, all are under a Sudan Call. That's one big coalition. There is the, what you call it, a Sudan Consensus Group or Sudan Consensus Front, led by Farouk Abu Issa. This is another major group that is coming up. Then we have trade unions organization, which led the 25th demonstrations. These three major groups have organized themselves together. And then there are other groups coming and trying to side with three major groups. So it's open for the rest to join. But these are the main mobilizers. And I think we are getting the right leadership very soon.
That's Jibril Ibrahim, chairman of the Justice and Equality Movement, speaking to my colleague John Tanza from Paris yesterday. Tomorrow, he talks about the future of the opposition in Sudan. 22 Sudanese political parties and groups, including some close to the government, have called for a new government, saying the current Bashir administration cannot overcome the ongoing political crisis or its regional and international isolation. The groups called for a new transitional government that would hold elections for restoring democracy and public freedoms. Nabil Nagum is a political analyst of African affairs based in Cairo. He explained to VOA senior analyst Mohamed El-Shanawi that President Bashir may find himself in a tight situation.
I believe not that President Omar Hassan al-Bashir had long blamed for his country's poverty and isolation. This move by those winning two political parties or political bodies means that those guys who were in the same bed with President Omar Bashir are leaving him, and now he is getting closer and closer around the presidential palace in Khartoum.
The group called for a new transitional government that would hold elections for restoring democracy and public freedoms. Is that doable in a peaceful way, and whom among the Sudanese leaders could emerge as a new leader who can get the international support?
Actually, it is very much early to talk about a specific Sudanese politician. But let's go back to basics. This Islamic-oriented military regime have dominated the Sudanese politics since June 1989. This regime came to power in a military coup, and the president himself faces two international arrest warrants based on charges of war crimes and crimes against humanity and genocide in the Darfur. Actually, the situation in Khartoum or in Sudan at large doesn't look good at all. The poverty level, the lack of necessities, the Sudanese citizens are suffering. So President Bashir has got not too much choices. He's got to listen to the voices of the Sudanese people, and he's got to really reevaluate his stance. He is not in a situation to maneuver. He's got to come to the common sense and find a peaceful way to avoid wide, massive riots and destruction in Sudan.
But the president of Sudan, Omar al-Bashir, ordered the setting up of a fact-finding committee headed by the justice minister to investigate violence during the anti-government protests. Would that calm the popular uprising in Sudan?
I don't believe so. In fact, finding mission formed by a regime which has lost its credibility among the people. The people went out after they have waited for 30 years. 30 years of no real improvement, no real achievements. The inflation rate is 74%. The U.S. dollar is equal to 80 Sudanese pounds. The foreign debt is almost 47 billion U.S. dollars. So, coming back to this fact-finding mission, who would trust a fact-finding mission of a regime which internationally has been doomed of killing or accused of killing 300,000 citizens in Darfur, in west of Sudan, between 2003 and 2018. I do believe very much that it is another way to gain time, but I don't think it's very much promising to the Sudanese President Omar Hassan al-Bashir.
That was Nabil Nagum, a political analyst of African Affairs, speaking from Cairo to my colleague Mohammed Elshinawi. Members of the diaspora have joined the call to protest from abroad, demanding Western governments act on behalf of the Sudanese people. Ayen Dangbior has more for VOA from Washington.
The Sudanese diaspora has joined the call for President Omar al-Bashir to step down. The diaspora recently protested in front of the United Nations in New York and the White House here in Washington, D.C. Protester Abdul Hakim Hassan, a native of Darfur, says he might be far from home, but he still stands in solidarity with his people.
People of Sudan, we are here to support you. We are here to represent your voice. You are voiceless. We are your voice. We are sending your voice to the world. I know the world is abandoning us for years and years and years.
Prayer services outside Washington, D.C. have also been organized to remember people who have died during the uprising. Amnesty International estimated at least 37 people have died during the protest. That number has directly impacted Virginia resident Mahassan Ahmed Mohammed, who is friends with someone who lost a brother in the protest.
It's not easy. He's the young one, and he's the one in the family. He's one in his family. I know how it's hard for them. But I want to tell them this is we never, all of us, we're not going to forget your son. And definitely all the kids from Sudan is your son. And I want you to be strong, and you have to pray for him because he needs all of us to remember him, and we never forget this moment. We never forget the day that he gave his life for his country.
Niamat Ahmadi, an activist with Darfur Women Action Group in Washington, who protested in front of the White House, says the protests are different this time around because the crippling economy has impacted so many people who are unified in their demand for change.
We are here to stand in solidarity with the people of Sudan and also to demand our government, the United States government, and the international community, particularly the member state of the UN Security Council, to stand in support of the people of Sudan. The people of Sudan have cried for years for peace and justice.
But it's not just rising bread prices and fuel and oil that have triggered disdain for the government, according to Hakim. He says Sudanese have a real hunger for democracy and are seeking an end to Bashir's decades-long rule.
We don't have a system. We don't have a judicial system in Sudan. We don't have a governance in Sudan. We have a poor government. We have a genocidal government. We don't have a future in Sudan. That's why the uprising, it went off all over across the country. The only demand is the change. We need change in our country. We need to have a new democracy in Sudan. I am 33 years old. I have never voted in my life. I wish if I can stand by and line up one day and have my ticket to vote for the president that I want him to rule our country.
22 opposition groups have come together to call for an end to Bashir's rule and to replace it with a transitional government. Ayen Dangbior, VOA News, Washington.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a former South Sudanese official says the peace deal's timeline is not being enforced. That story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there something about yourself that you would like to change?
Definitely not. No, because at least I know my life has been good. I've not been entertaining bad company. So to maybe to change my life, I need to start making at least new friends again.
Life is all about learning. We learn every day. So in as much as we are still breathing, there are things we need to shed off.
Currently, I would like to change my tummy. I'm growing a pot belly. So I'm exercising. I've bought an abdomen machine that's helping me to deal with it. And I want to lose weight, probably 5-8 kilos.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A senior military officer who abandoned his post in Juba last week and fled to Nairobi says the government and the opposition are behind schedule in implementing the September 12th peace agreement. In the third and final part of our interview, Colonel Dixon Gatlwak claims the latest agreement might collapse.
The reason why we left is because our agreed principles were violated. I was so frank to the leadership, and I told them that this is not how things should be done. I was actually telling them when I was in Juba that this is not the way the agreement supposed to be implemented, especially the side of the army. I was really against it. I was not comfortable the way things were done. I was actually speaking my mind since I was in Juba. I did not start it here. But after all, knowing that things have fallen apart and things are not moving ahead, then I exit. And that is the reason why I'm telling you this is not something to do with the issue of rank and file, being a top commander in the army. If you look at the rank of SPLA, which is now the SSPDF, they are useless. They have got no value at all. And because
but you promoted yourself from a major general to colonel. When you crossed Sotaban, then you became a colonel. When you were with Riek, you were a major general. We have not had any official confirmation about your promotion. So why would you blame the others in SSPDF?
Not at all. This was not the issue.
No. I mean, we have credible information that you promoted yourself from a major general to a colonel.
The one who told you this is lying. It was a degree that was issued by General Taban himself. It was not something that was done out of consultation. It was the leadership. If there are some people who are talking of myself promoting, these people, they are lying. So the issue, what we are talking about, or what brought the disagreement from Juba, Tanza, it was the issue of not rushing to the same government that has already failed. We were actually waiting for unified forces that's supposed to be formed when all the section, when all the group, when all the political wing, when they come back to Juba. And this is what we were focusing on this, on it. But on the way, Taban was actually in a high speed trying to integrate us into the SSPDF, which was not the agreed principle. And this is what made us to protest. And that is why I was protesting that this is not the right and was not the genuine procedures.
Let's talk about this peace agreement that was signed in September. There are a lot of issues with this agreement. What are some of the issues that might impede this agreement?
This agreement, to me, I've been telling people that it's not the genuine agreement. It's not the real peace agreement, but it's better than nothing. We have to say it is better than nothing. Why? We have most of our people actually who were not happy with the government. They took protection inside the UN camp across the country. When you look at these people, now if there is a relative calm in the country, like when Rick came, another group came back to Juba. So now they are coming out. That is why I'm saying this peace is better than nothing, because they will have to come out. Second to that, these people, they are so desperate. When you look at my own tribe, Nuer, are really desperate because they have been in the camp under the UN for almost now 5 years. For them to gain their dignity and for them also to have, you know, their unity back is good for them. I don't say that is bad, but this peace will not hold. If you look at the way it is being implemented as we speak now, it is being done locally. There is no any right procedure that are being followed. And that is why the international community are saying that this peace, even if it is not now, eventually it will get corrupted on the way, like what happened to us when we joined the government. Government is not serious about this, okay? And for that reason, this peace will not help. And I'm telling you, as we are speaking, this peace will not get to its position.
Colonel Dixon Gottlock is a former spokesman for the SPLA-IOT Tabandeng faction. He was speaking last week from Nairobi with my colleague John Tanza. A South Sudanese soldier from the Presidential Guard is accused of raping a 70-year-old woman recently. Waki Simon Wudu has the details for VOA from Juba.
The alleged rape victim, who we will not identify in order to protect her privacy, says the soldier raped her as she was harvesting sorghum from her garden in Nesitu, a suburb south of Juba town, 2 weeks ago. Speaking in local Arabic, the woman says the rapist held her, both of her hands, tightly and threw away the knife she was using to harvest sorghum.
The incident occurred in the garden I was cultivating. The soldier went to the garden and got me in the garden. He caught me until I cried, and he raped me. I then decided to go to the army commander in their barrack and got him in his garden. The commander asked me, "Abuba, why are you crying?" I told him, "Your soldier has raped me. I'm a poor woman. I don't have a child. All you should know is your soldier has raped me, and I'm going to your home so that if I die, you should be the one to bury me."
One of the woman's grandsons, whom we shall call Lado for privacy reasons, says he filed a police case shortly after his grandmother told him about the attack. Lado says the incident took place in the morning hours of December 16th. He says he took his grandmother to Juba Teaching Hospital for medical procedures, including a surgical procedure.
If you saw it that time, it was an awkward scene. There was flow of blood until an operation had to be done. She just became like a child that time. She had to undergo some emergency treatment, including several first aid administered to her. It was awkward scene, unbelievable.
Lado says the assailant is a suspected serial rapist who has attacked other women in Nesitu. He says two girls reported last year that the same soldier tried to rape them. Lado says all he wants is justice.
In all these efforts I am making, I have one thing. Since the soldier was arrested, he is still in the army barracks. All I want is he should be brought to the police station to make a statement so that we go to the courts of law, so that the right of my mother will be ascertained in the courts of law. This is something which has now reached the police, and I will not leave anything aside in this stage. I want him be tried in courts of law. He should not be left at the army barracks.
South Sudan military spokesman Major General Lulu Roy Kwang confirms that a government soldier in Nesitu has been arrested for in connection with the rape case and is awaiting trial.
Yes, there was a report of that nature, and we came and admitted, yes, one of our rock soldiers raped an elderly woman. That person is also in custody.
The Archbishop of the Central Equatoria Internal Province of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, Right Reverend Paul Yugusuk, condemns the incident, calling it unfortunate. He says several suspected other rapes occurred in Kobi and Aru Junction villages last year. Reverend Yugusuk says President Salva Kiir, who is the commander-in-chief of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces, should punish errant soldiers.
It is unfortunate that the government of South Sudan has not taken this, especially the SPLA, has not taken this, or Sudan Defense Force for that matter. We understand that the name has changed, yet their behavior has not changed.
Last year, four government soldiers were accused of raping four women, including two minors, at Kobi village in Jubek State. The soldiers accused of raping the minors were arrested, but Archbishop Yugusu claims none of the soldiers were prosecuted. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wodo in Juba.
Two dozen inmates at Yambio State Prison overpowered prison guards and escaped last weekend. Authorities shot and killed one escapee who was a popular musician in Yambio Town. Kabudwe State authorities have been combing the forest to track down the other escaped prisoners. Elias Ganana Mungbando has the story for VOA from Yambio.
The escaped prisoner and a renowned local artist known by his stage name BBB or Bobiro was shot dead by security personnel during an exchange of gunfire, according to Yambio Central Prison Director Colonel Gabriel Bofdeng.
On 29 December, people ran from the prison were 24. There was one prison guard who was holding a bundle of keys for the prisoners. After the official closing of the prison that day, the guards who was on duty for security in the prison gave the keys of the prison to one of the guards and went home. And that guard was holding the keys after the officers went home. That guard opened the doors of the prisons because there was no prison doors blocking.
Gabriel says the prisoner guard on duty is under arrest and being interrogated because prison break looks suspicious.
After the prisoners came out, one of them went direct to the guard who was on duty with a pistol and disarmed the prison guard and took from him AK-47. That is why we say it was planned, because how can a prisoner open the prison main gate? We said those guards should be bribed.
Prison's warrant officer Wilson Simon, who was responsible locking inmates, says the prisoners had planned their escape with a couple of prison officers.
I came out and security person who was on duty said he is going home to take bath. He went forever and he did not come back and he did not ask any permission from me. Okay, we stayed up to 10:30 p.m. I told the guard on duty that I'm going to my resting place and I instructed him to guide the place because my seat as a prisoner officer duty was separate from the guards. Just at 10:30 p.m., I was surprised to hear just the sound of the prisoner main gate in a few minutes. I just heard gun being opened.
Simon says he fired shots at the prisoners who broke into the main store of the prison to collect the rifles and ammunition. Tutu Agranze is the wife of the renowned local artist who was shot and killed in Yambio suburb. She says she is not aware of what her husband's crimes and the subsequent jail term. Speaking in her native Zande language, she says people should forgive her family.
What I can say to the government is, the person who have been doing bad things, because if the person is not doing bad things to people, people will not hate you for nothing. I am kneeling on the ground to ask for forgiveness, that let the government forgive us, at least these children, so that his children can be registered to school to study. No one is to take care of them. No one is responsible for the children.
Tutu says her deceased husband has left 30 children who will depend on her for school fees and feeding. The state government of Budwe has assured citizens to celebrate the New Year festivity without fear of the 24 convicts who are still at large. For VOA News, I am Elias Ginana Mangondo in Yambio.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Ting Rondit by Ma Stars. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Thanks for being here. We hope you join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Anya ke yinting randet chine na yar mo randet o
Ogo gina nyan tiyo go bun wa koi koi kok. Un joni rot bai ba ben lor kuit kubun baron ke koi kok. Buk chambe le lup no mo gin ke in la lupe be koi kok. Ungi jine ni ting randat ku bar lor ka let chek. Ku jubi chok man na kin ku gini nyan galama wajib. Uke ne nyua kin ting randat ku inya tingi chit nyan. Akol berwun ta diak do din ya yog la ba chit nga. Yelan chimor ku uru wer go bon korin wanin nyan. Na ken ka wilor cha yog un chedin chandun dat ba chit nyan.